Today's Shi'ez Masechta Bava Basra Daf Tzadik Hei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Tzadik Dalet on the Beis. Four lines from the bottom Toshma. We've been learning from in our previous Shi'er that when one sells a certain amount of grain and there's impurities in the grain, and in our previous Shi'er we had a discussion, what is the definition of an impurity? But where there are impurities in the grain, we learned that the halacha is that up to a roiv akav for a saw is considered acceptable, the different pshatim that we learned, and therefore the sale stands. We then discussed, the Gemara then discussed, a situation where the person, the buyer, was concerned that there's more than that amount, and indeed there was more than that amount, where the Gemara taught us, Rav Huna taught us, that when he has a right to claim, I was cheated, not only does he claim on the amount that's above the acceptable proportion, but he has a right to say that for everything that was, for the entire amount of impurities. And the Gemara began a discussion, how does the halacha view what just happened? Does the halacha look at it as if it's a Mekachtos, the whole sale is irrelevant, or the whole sale is nullified? What do we say? It's a knas. It's a punishment. It's a fine for having done this. And the Gemara, as we discussed in our previous year, has been focusing on this question, bringing rayas one way or another to this question from different situations that we have in Shas to this question. We're going to have in Mitzvah Shem, a Gemara on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, which discusses the situation of somebody sells a field that is the size of a Beis Kor, and they weren't careful exactly on the measurement of the field. And the Mishnah there teaches us that even for a Kor has 30 saw, and if even for every saw there was a Roiv Kav that wasn't exact, again, we mean a space that could grow a roiv akav, the deal still stands. Because the assumption is that if there's an overage or a deficit for this amount, the people are moichel and everything is fine. So that means we're going to have 30 roiv akav, which is 7.5 kabin, for a kor, that's the halacha that is acceptable. If it's going to be more than that, they have to now recalculate. So says the Gemara, Toshma, the Gemara is going to teach us, the Tani Ravin by Rav Nachman, when he taught a brisa regarding that Mishnah. The Mishnah over there says that if there is above the amount that is acceptable, the loch is loyal as her boisable varhu maxer. Not only does he have to pay back the amount that's above what's acceptable, a maxer's color of on kulam, then everything is recalculated. So we see, al mehecha de boy dura, when you have to return, the loch is kulam ahadam. And the way the Rishonim explain, that the Gemara is saying that this is a case, this is a proof to the opinion that when you have to return, it's because of the din, not because of the knas. Because in that case, it's not like our Gemara. Where in our Gemara, there was a possibility, as we discussed, that the person who sold this grain deliberately mixed in foreign substances. Here, we don't have a reason to say that. The Ritva explains that the way to understand that in that Gemara is that there, people, it's much easier to measure. And therefore, since it's much easier to measure, there's no reason to allow for anything but what's exact. So it's a raya that's a knas. Says the Gemara, Hachi Hashta. That case is not the same as our Gemara in any way. Hosom, ben Cheser, So whether it's more or less than they what had contracted, Amalei, the seller says to the buyer at the time of the transaction, that I'm telling you, this may not be exactly what we agreed to. And therefore, the halacha is that it's not included in the kinyan. They spoke about a certain amount, not more. Mia, reveal like chashiv. So if they spoke about a certain amount, why is the halacha, if you didn't get that amount, it's not nullifying the sale? Because if you have up to a quarter of a kav for every saw, it's not considered something significant. Yosem reveal chashiv. And therefore, there is no mechila. And now the Gemara continues. If we start, as we said at the beginning, if we start thinking about all of the amount that was left out, that was not correct, so Kivin the Chazalei is through for Batisha Chavin, since the amount, we start with a very large field, the car. And if we thought every saw of the 30 saw of a car, there was something that wasn't correct, so we now have a significant amount. Havle arach shifta b'fnei afsha. We have a very significant amount by itself, a hadra. And that's why the halach is that you have to return the entire amount. But in our Gemara, even though it was more than a ravia, more than a roiva kav, it doesn't really make it's still not a significant amount. And therefore the two cases are not the same. The Torah Kedoshah says, "V'chisimcha memkala mesecha, a kana miyadim isecha." A halacha that we've often discussed in our shiurim, the halacha of Aino al tainu ishes achav. The halacha is that one may not cheat the other person. One may not cheat the other person. Says the Gemara, "Tashma Aino," as we learned in Mesech the Bava Metzia, "Aino pach mishtos nikna mekach." If the amount that was overcharged or undercharged is less than a sixth, the deal stands. Yois mishtos, if it's more than a sixth, batel mekach, the deal is nullified. Shtos, if it's exactly a sixth, kara, the deal stands. However, machsoy no, whoever was the one that was cheated, because as we often say in our shurim, it could be either person, it could be the seller or the buyer. It depends if he paid too much or he paid too little. Machsoy no. But says the Gemara, Mai, why do we make him give back the entire amount by the sixth? Or why do we say that the amount, that if it's more than a sixth, the whole deal is off? Leheda pachs mishtos. Why don't we just bring it back to the normal, why don't we bring it back to the proper standard of less than a sixth that we just learned in this brisa, that when it's less than a sixth, the deal is a deal. So we see from here, shmamina, the kolhech de boil aduri, wherever, because of what happened, you have to return back the entire amount, once you have to return, the halach is that you kula mahadar. Says the Marhachi Hashta, we can't say the same. Hasmi kara shava b'shava amalei. They made up an amount that this is what this is going to cost. And as the Ritva points out, it doesn't even have to be said. It's understood that when you enter into a deal, everybody's going to be honest. Miu, says the Gemara, when there's less than a sixth, pachs mishtes loydiya b'mona. When you have less than a sixth, it's entirely not noticeable. A machlinish, and that's why people are meichel, because it's so insignificant. And as the Rishonim explain, people realize that people are people. What do I mean when I say people realize that people are people? People realize that it's difficult to be perfectly exact. And since people realize that it's difficult to be perfectly exact, they realize that if it's such an insignificant amount, we're not going to speak about it. Shtus yediyah. Once it's a sixth, it's noticeable. V'loy machlenish. And therefore, you have to return the entire amount. When you have yesem shtus, when you have more than a shtus, now we have a whole new situation. Now we have a situation of a mekach tos. And since it's a mekach tos, that's why batal mekach. So the Ritva explains that the point here is that people have certain expectations when they make a deal. The expectations are that what I contracted for is what I'm going to get. And if that isn't the case, it's a whole different situation than our Gemara, where a person knows that it's natural to have impurities in something that is something like grain that's sold. The pasuk says, as we began this piece of Gemara, Ish esamisa v'yareisa. So the Baal Turim points out that if we look at the last letters of the words Ish esamisa v'yareisa, they make up the word shtus. So this is a proof in the pasuk that when we speak about Eino, as we often do, the amount that we think about is a shtus. Ask the Paras Yosef on the Baal Turim that this pasuk of Ishes Amesa V'Yereisa is speaking about a Nars Tvorim, that you're not allowed to hurt somebody else in speech. The Noah of Shtus is, as we just learned, by a transaction. So Parash Yosef asks in the Baal Turim, how do you bring a right to Shtus? In a pasuk that speaks about a Nars Tvorim, when about a Nars Kesef, when that pasuk is speaking about a Nars Tvorim. The Alshech points out that even though we're saying that the Shir of a Noah is up to a sixth, what happens if you have a number of people, or partners in a deal? How do we measure the sixth? So the Shail Tshuvas Avni Chetziv says it doesn't make a difference. We don't look at how many people and how much each person was affected. We look at the amount, we look at the deal, and therefore he says, we don't look at what happened to each individual in this transaction. The way to look at it is at the transaction. And if because of this transaction, as we just explained, it uses our Gemara as a raya. If our Gemara is saying that when there's a sixth, the person is not Michael, it doesn't make a difference if it's each person or not. So the Chashuk Echemet brings a very interesting question. There was a Chassan, Baruch Hashem, who was getting married. And of course, as we know, most weddings, Bizman Azeh, take place with a ring. The Chosn gives a Kala a ring. So the Chosn went to the jewelry store to buy a ring for the wedding. The storekeeper saw that this Chosn knew nothing about jewelry, and he overcharged him much by four times the price of the ring. A ring that was worth $100, he charged him $400. After he got married and he used the ring, he came home and he's speaking to his in-laws, to his wife, to his in-laws, and they tell him, "This is you were cheated. You paid four times the price for this ring." So he goes back to the storekeeper. And he goes to the storekeeper and says, "Give me back the amount that you overcharged me." He says, "I'm not prepared to give you back that amount. If you indeed, as you say, feel that you were cheated, so I'll give me back the ring and I'll give you back the entire money." The chassan now is concerned about doing so, because by doing so, the ring did not belong to him at the time of the Kedushin. And it turns out the whole wedding and all the brachas that were said were bracha levatala. And the question is that the chassan here could claim, what can the chassan do? So he quotes the Shulchan Aruch Hashem Mishpat Simen Reish Chav Zayin Siv Zayin, that a person who was cheated has a right to back out of the deal. But as we often discuss in the Ashurim, and we learned from Sechba Mitzia, how long do you have a right to say so? The halacha is you have a right to say so until you could have shown it to someone else, and they could have told you that you were cheated. But here, if you didn't do it in that time frame, you can't make that claim. So now the question is, Here, it was a while. He had enough time to show. So the question is that since he was a chassan and he was busy with the wedding, so the fact that it took longer than normal that you should show it and be told by your friends, by others, that this was, you were cheated, he still has that time. But the question here is, he still wants the Kedushin to be a valid Kedushin. And if he wants the Kedushin to be a valid Kedushin, and he doesn't want it to be a Bilas Nus, and he doesn't want the Brachas to be too wrong, the Brachas B'Yavach HaTala, what should he do? So he quotes the Paiskim that what the way to look at Aynor is not to look at the Aynor as if the deal never happened. What happens is, at the moment that the deal, that he discovers the Aynor, and he goes back and he says, you cheated me, that's the moment that the deal becomes bottled. So now everything's very geschmack. That means until he's going to give back the money, or in this case, he's going to give back all the money and he's going to have to give back the ring, it doesn't mean that at the time of the ring, at the time of the wedding, it wasn't a wedding. It only becomes an issue at this case. And since it only becomes an issue at this point, the halach is, it's a valid kedush. And then he says, but this is a big chiddush, because usually when we speak about a mekach tos, we say a mekach tos is a mekach tos retroactively from the time of the deal. So if that's the case, the ring wasn't his. So how could this kedushin be a valid kedushin? So there's another approach that he takes. It wouldn't be worse than a mekadosh isha b'mashkin. What happens if you're holding on to a mashkin of somebody else and you use that ring to be mekadosh a wife? So he says that the halacha is that Rabbi Yoshua used to say it's a valid kedushin. If that's the case, this is no worse that this is a mashkin, and therefore it's a valid kedushin. Then he says another pshat. He suggests that what happened with this chassan. Let's go back to the story as we stated it. This chassan was not aware that what he was paying was an overcharge. As far as he was concerned, it was the proper price. Only later, when his in-laws opened up his eyes, that it was not a good charge. Now, let's say as he was standing under the chuppah, somebody would have looked at the ring and somebody would have asked him, "This ring, how much should you pay?" And he would have said $400, and they would have told him it's only worth $100. What would he have done? He would have still gotten married, because he didn't want to not get married, and that was the only ring available. So he only became aware that he was overcharged later. Since at the moment of the wedding, he would have chosen to use the ring even though he was overcharged, the halach is that it's a good kedushin. And he says that the question was asked to Rabbi Yoshev. Rabbi Yoshev said that even though he's getting back the ring, he's getting back the money and he has to give back the ring, it doesn't affect the validity of the Kedushin. Says the Gemara, Toshma, HaMekal V'Sodim Chaveroi, if somebody, a worker, took on a job, Lita, to plant trees, HaRez HaMekabalov Esa Burius Lameya, that if you took upon yourself to plant trees, for every 100 trees that are planted, the halacha is that if 10 turn out to be trees that don't bear any fruit, the person who hired him has to accept that. Yosef Mikan, but if there's more than 10 trees, the halacha is Megalgalon Asako, that you have to pay for all the trees that you paid. And here too, that the point, says the Ritva, is going back to what we've been discussing, that this is a ride that it's dina, then not knas, because he didn't do this on purpose. He doesn't deserve to be punished. Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, call Yes Mikan, even So isn't this a raya that it's din not knas? Says the Gemara, no. Amar Afuna Rav Yeshua, kol yes mekan. When you have more than 10 trees, kebal lita metchila dami. The way the halacha looks at it, the halacha doesn't look at it as if I'm correcting what I did. But rather, the halacha looks at it that when there was an arrangement made that this person is going to plant trees, the arrangement was that he's going to plant healthy trees. And now, if there are trees, so he really has to plant only good trees. But when it turns out that up to 10 trees, it doesn't undo the contract. But that has nothing to do with impurities. When we speak about, so he didn't intend to plant any bad trees. Here, there's always going to be impurities. And therefore, the two situations cannot be connected. And we don't bring a riot from one to the next. Says the Gemara, Matav Shayai, we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody sold him a wine cellar, so the expectation is that for every 100 barrels, there's going to be 10 barrels of poor quality wine. Says the Gemara, Hechidami. Well, exactly what is the case of the Mishnah? How did the seller and buyer enter, says the Gemara, into this contract? If he said, I'm selling you a wine cellar, and he didn't indicate which is the wine cellar that he's selling him. Kasha. So then the Mishnah is difficult to understand, because the halacha is, if I said I'm selling you a wine cellar, the expectation is that all the wine in that wine cellar is quality wine. And if there's even one barrel that's not good, it should not be acceptable. Either Amalei Martu Shalyayin, if they identified a specific wine cellar, so then Kasha, it's also a question, because he accepted this wine cellar no matter what the wine cellar looks like. He said, whatever this wine cellar looks like, that's what I'm taking. Ida Amalei, and says the Gemara, so Kasha, then the halach is, the halach should be that even if they're all no good, he should accept it. Ida Amalei Martav Zeh, if he said Martav Zeh, and he didn't even say it's wine, then certainly Kasha, because there, not only if there was poor quality wine, but in such a case, even if it was vinegar, the halach ought to be that the sale is a good sale. And the reason why it should be a good sale, because he never said that I'm selling you wine. He said I'm selling you what's in the cellar. What's in the cellar may be vinegar, Netanya. And the Gemara brings a brisa that supports all the halachas that we just said. The brisa says, Matav Shayayin Ani Maichalach. If the seller tells the buyer, I'm selling you a Matav Shayayin, the halacha is Noshon LaYayin Shekula Yofa. He has to give him only quality wine. And the halacha is that he doesn't have to accept upon himself any wine that's not quality. And the Rashbam obviously makes a point. We go back to the Mishnah that we began our sugya with, and the Mishnah said that when you sell different fruits, different grain, there's a certain amount of impurities or poor quality that's accepted. And why over here is the Gemara focusing that it should not be accepted? So Rashbam says a very poshta teretz. He says, when somebody sells, we spoke about selling dates and we spoke about different fruits. So each date for itself is really not a very significant fruit. So therefore, if there's 10 dates, each one not being good, it doesn't affect the sale. But here we're speaking about barrels of wine. Each barrel of wine is significant. Each barrel of wine is expensive. And therefore, there's no expectation that the buyer should take any bad quality wine. So again, says the Gemara, if you said Matav Shayayin Ani Maichalach, I'm selling you a wine cellar, so then Noshon LaYayin Shekula Yofa, all the wine that he's selling has to be high quality. Matav Zayin Shayayin Ani Maichalach, if he specified a certain wine cellar, Noshon LaYayin HaNimka B'Chanos. The halacha is that even if the wine, which is poor quality, the Gemara is calling Yayin HaNimka B'Chanos, wine that you buy in the store as poor quality, even that all of that is, that's the standard of wine that's here, the halacha is it's wine. And since it's wine, he has to take it. If he says, if he said, I'm selling you the contents of this cellar, and he didn't even use the word wine, in the previous case, he used the word wine. So it has to be at least wine that somebody's going to call it wine. But when he says, without identifying what is in the matif, so there halacha is afilu kula chametz, even if it's complete all vinegar, then the halacha is hagida, it's a good sale, because he never said, I'm selling you wine. But what's relevant to our Gemara is, how do we understand our Mishnah? That the Mishnah says there's this new proportion of 10 barrels of poor quality wine out of 100, the sale is a sale. Answers the Gemara, Dama Loilam, Dama Le Matif Shayayin Stam. And he didn't identify a specific seller. The Tana Bereish the Braisa, but we have to add in the Reish of the Braisa, Mekalov Asar Kursus Lameya. And we have to add that even when I said I'm selling you a wine cellar, there's an expectation that you are going to accept a certain, you're going to accept the, a certain proportion of a poor quality wine. Ubustam asked the Gemara, if that's the case, if I didn't say up front that I'm taking 10% of poor quality wine, is that the halach, the mim kabel, I have to take it? For a ton of Rav Chiyah taught us in a brisa, hamaycha chavas yayin l'chaveroi. If somebody sells a barrel of wine to somebody else, nice lo yayin shekali yofa, you have to give him poor, only good quality wine. Why is the halach that you can't give him yayin kaisutz? So you see that if I say I'm selling you wine, it has to be all good quality. Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a rye from that case. Shani chavas, when I'm selling you one barrel, so it's all one barrel. You can't have a barrel, wine in one barrel that's partially good and partially not good. It's all the entire, it's all the same. And therefore, either it's all going to be good quality wine or it's not going to be good quality wine. So the question is, so therefore the halach is that you have to take it has to be all good. But when we have many barrels, as we're speaking about in the Mishnah now, Gemara, so then the halach is very different. You have good barrels and you have poor quality barrels. The Gemara keeps on teaching us that if you sold a martif, a cellar, without saying the word yayin, without using the word wine, that afilu kulay chaimetz, even if it's all vinegar, the sale stands. But the Bach asks, why can't we use damim maidim? Why can't we use the amount that was paid as a proof of what happened here? So the Bach says, the only time we could use damim maidim, we've learned this concept, is when there were at least words that indicate something to push it in a certain direction. Here, the word yayin wasn't used. And since the word yayin wasn't used, we can't use that as a proof, that the money as a proof. So the Gemara, this just changed the Braisa. And the Gemara modified the Braisa in saying that if we sold me a wine cellar, there is an acceptance of 10% that's not good. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya Rav Zvid with the Bay Reboshia, Rav Zvid taught a Braisa in the Yeshiva Reboshia, where somebody said, I'm selling you a wine cellar, nice and light, Yain shekul yafa. All the barrels of wine have to be good quality. If he said matu zeh shel yain ani meichalof, he said the word zeh, then the halach is noisin lo yain shekul yafa mekabel of asara kufsar slameya. So this is a little different than what we've been learning till now. Here it says that when he said matu zeh shel yain, the halach is that he gets the 10%. And as the Rashbam explains, since he said yain, there's an expectation that all of it is good wine. But since he also used the word zeh, so we come up with some sort of a compromise. That if there's up to 10 barrels that's not good, it'll be still a deal. And says the Gemara that when somebody uses this wording, amart of zesh, yain on ani mechalach, that's the case of what our Mishnah said, that you take on 10%. Says the Gemara, but what do we see from here? Only because the words mart of zesh lo yayin were used, that's when if you could accept up to 10%. But if he would have used the words mart of shel yayin, he's not obligated to take anything. Says the Gemara, el masnis sanami, so we're going to have to explain our Mishnah, domalei zeh, that the word zeh was used, and therefore, since the word zeh was used, that's when you have the 10%. But now, ask the Gemara, we've learned in our shiur today two different brises about what is the halacha with different wording when you're selling wine. But we now have a stira, kasha zeh zeh. In the first brise that we learned, that if you said matu zeh shel yayin, in the second brise, we learned that you take 10%. And the first brise we learned that you could take that the entire amount that's sold could be poor quality wine. How do we reconcile these two brises? Answer the Gemara lo kasha. There's another word that's going to be introduced into this conversation. Hod amalei lemikvah. When you said that I need the wine for cooking, hod amalei lemikvah. You didn't use the word that I'm buying the wine for eating. And the Gemara explains it. There is vid, damalei lemikvah. The halach is that wine that's going to be used for cooking is used up just a little at a time. And since it's just used up at a little at a time, that's one pshat. So since it's used at a little time, it has to be quality wine. Because since you want to hold on to this wine for a long time, if you're starting with poor quality wine, it's not going to last. But if you don't use the word lemikvah, you're going to drink it. So as long as it's drinkable now, the fact that it can't last for a long time is not significant. Brisa, and therefore the Brisa is talking about the case is that it's not lemikvah, that you're not using it for cooking. So as long as it's drinkable, it's not vinegar, it's good enough. Another reason why they say by mikvah, when it's used for cooking, it has to be quality wine, because otherwise it'll ruin the taste of what you're drinking. Hilkach. So now the Gemara summarizes. Mat of Shiyayin, if he says, I'm selling you a mat of Shiyayin, and also what was included in those words, were lemikvah, of amalei lemikvah, that it's being used for cooking, that loch is, nice lo yayin shekuli yofi, you could only give good quality wine. In a case where they said, mat of zesh lo yayin, v'amalei lemikvah, nice lo yayin shekuli yofi, even though so we have many different directions in the statement. On one hand, it said matav zeh, so it means whatever is in the matav as it is. On the other hand, they use the word lemikvah, which means high quality. How do we reconcile to make this phraseology work? So halacha will be nice lo yayin shekula yofa or mekabel alav eser kosos lemeya. We give him good quality wine, but he has to be ready to take 10 barrels out of 100 that are not. When he used the word matav zeh shiyayin, but he didn't use the word mikvah. The loch is nicely because you could give him even wine that's sold in the store because it's drinkable. And I didn't use mikvah, so I just have to be able to drink it, and it's something that can be drunk. And since he said zeh, he has to take it as it is. So not a question that they asked was matav shayin. He didn't use the word zeh, but he didn't say lemikvah. Mai. So now the Gemara's question is, how does the halacha view this transaction? Do we say, since he didn't say lemikvah, he has to take 10% of poor quality wine? Or the fact that they didn't use the word zeh, only when you use the word zeh, you take the seller as is. Here, where he didn't say the word zeh, he's expecting to get only good wine. So what will be the halacha in such a situation? Says the Gemara, Pligba Rav Acha Ravina. It's the subject of a machlokes Rav Acha Ravina. Charama mekabel. One opinion is that he has to take the 10%. And v'charama lo mekabel, he doesn't have to take the 10%. And the Gemara explains it, the machlokes. Madam mekabel, the one that says that he has to take the 10% of poor quality wine. Daik medrezvid. He takes his psak halacha from what Rav Zvid said. The Ketanim, because Rav Zvid said, Matu Shiyan and Nimaychalach, Naisen Loi, Yain Shikula Yofim, the Kimna. But we just finished explaining that when does all of the wine have to be good? Because he used the word Lamikva. Tama, so what do we see? That when must all the wine be good? Only if you use the word Lamikva. If you didn't use the word Lamikva, then the halacha is, then you have to take Mekabel, you have to take 10%. You have to take 10% that is not good. But ask the Manda Omer Loi Mekabel, the Manda Omer that says that even though you didn't say the Mikva, you still have to get all good wine. Daik Mebraisa. He goes back to the Braisa that we spoke about in Amar Aleph. The Tani, the Braisa said, when somebody says Matv Yain and Imaychalach, Noisalach Shikul Yafa. We have to give him only good wine. For Kumna, and we said when we learned that Braisa, the Lam Elayl Mikvah, that he didn't use the word Mikvah. And that's why, in a case when he said Matv Zeh, the Loch is you give him pork, you give him even wine that is sold in the Chanus. And just like in the second case where he didn't say Lamikvah, the first case is also he didn't say Lamikvah. So we see that. If you don't use, even if you didn't use the word lemikvah, as long as you didn't use the word zeh, you have to give him only good quality wine. Ask the Gemara, well, the man the daik medrezvid, according to the man that said that according to Rav Zvid, since he didn't use the word lemikvah, he takes the 10%, kasha brisa, the first brisa that we learned that said noisel shayin shakula yofa will be difficult. How will that opinion understand that brisa? Answers the Gemara, Ksur Mechzvach Ketani. But Medvam Amurim, when is the halacha that you have to take only good wine? Damalei LaMikvah. If the word were mikvah were added to the transaction. Haloi Amalei LaMikvah. If the word LaMikvah was not added to the transaction, Mekabel. Then he'll take 10%. And in a case of Mat of Zeh Shel Yain, so they pointed specific wine cellar, and also, he didn't use the word lamikvah, then the halach is, then the entire thing could be nine amnikah b'chamos. Ask the Gemara, l'man d'mayik m'braisa, that the halach will be, from the first braisa, it seems that the halach will be in this case. You don't take any poor quality wine, kasha the Rav Zvid, we explain the Rav Zvid, the reason that you don't get any poor quality wine is only in a case, d'amalei lamikvah. Isn't that a raya, that a haloi amalei lamikvah, that if you don't use the word lamikvah, you're always going to have to take 10% of poor quality wine? Answers the Gemara, no. Even if you didn't say the word lamikvah, who I did afkav d'loi amalei lamikvah, but if you didn't specify a certain wine cellar, you don't take any poor quality wine. Afkav d'loi amalei lamikvah loi mekabel. V'ay d'kimnei amalei lamikvah, why did he say that speaks about a case of a mikvah? Only Mishim the Kasha Zal Zeh. As we said a few moments ago, there was a stira between the brises when you said Matav Zeh, do you take 10% or not? So only in the case where Zeh was used is the halacha that is that do you take, only when the halacha of Zeh, there's the nafkamin if you take 10%. But if you didn't say the word Zeh, if you just say the word lemikvah, matav shel yayin, if you just speak about wine, then the halacha will be that under all circumstances, you have to get only good quality wine. We say by every siyum, it's a gemara mesech de brachas, ma'idani lefanach Hashem lekeinu, shesamta chalki miyoshvi beis medrash, leisamta chalki miyoshvi karonis. Ani rots loyalim haba, shana rots mechayal haba, vehem rots mebeh shachas. So I saw that just because somebody is not sitting and learning, Rav Kook Zitzal asked, does that mean they're running to Be'er Shachas? They're not running to Be'er Shachas. They're doing whatever they're doing. They're working, they're in business, they're in professions. So he says that the Gemara word is, the original wording of the Gemara was not Karanois, but rather was Kuf Resh Vav Sof. And it was an abbreviation kakusos v'tetrios. And what he's saying is that instead of wasting my time, I'm spending my time doing something, going to the theater. I'm spending my time doing something productive. But the Sefer Eshel Avram says that our Gemara keeps on speaking about Yayin Hanimcha Bechanos. And when we speak about Yayin Hanimcha Bechanos, what was that Chanos called? The Chanos was called the Kronos. If the Chanos was called Kronos, now it's very geschmack. The Kronos is the place, the Yoshvei Kronos are not people who sit doing business. The Yoshvei Kronos are the people who are sitting and drinking wine of the Chanos. And since they're drinking the wine of the Chanos, look at their lives versus our lives, lives of Torah.